center of the world's music. So that's just a little side note. Anyway, we are talking about rightly dividing. And last week, I don't even know if I'm going to use the grease board, so you guys don't have to worry about that. But last week we talked about some basic divisions in the Bible. We showed that the cross is the divider, and it divides many things. We showed that the Word of God is a divider, and it discerns. So division and dividing and discernment are good things. They're biblical things. They're godly things. And those, we need those traits. If you're not rightly dividing, you're blinded to this book, period. Because you're going to get all messed up, and you're going to get self-righteous, because you're going to find passages that say faith is dead without works. So you're going to start judging other people who are born again that aren't doing the same works that you're doing. And you're going to get into all kind of trouble like that. Okay, so our foundation for the Word of God, number one, is that you have to be born again. And number two is that you have to rightly divide. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? So there's two things in there that you need to know. If you want to be approved unto God, you have to study. Period. My three-year-old yesterday, he was with me all day yesterday, and I was studying all day yesterday, and he looked at me and he said, Daddy, you always study. You know, and I don't, but that's great. And I just wanted to say, that's how you get approved unto God, is you study. Okay? So if you want to be approved unto God, you study. If you don't want to be ashamed, you rightly divide. Because if you don't rightly divide, shame on you. You know, people are going to think you're a weirdo. You're going to go out and you're going to start a Seventh-day Adventist church, or you're going to become a Jehovah's Witness, or you're going to become whatever. You're just not going to be a Bible believer, that's for sure. Because that's when I talk to people and say, hey, are you a Bible believer? Oh, every Christian is a Bible believer, right? They are. But how do they handle those passages, you know, in Hebrews and James and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter? How do they handle those passages if they don't know how to rightly divide? Okay? So let's pray before we begin. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. We just pray now, Lord, that you open our minds and our eyes and our heart to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so last week we talked about some basic divisions. Last week and the week before, we talked about some basic divisions. So let's move on now to dispensations. Dispensations, okay? Now, dispensations, let me get to the right page here first. I have two sets of notes here, so here we go. Okay, so let's talk about dispensations, all right? A dispensation basically is a stewardship, okay? Let's say you're put in charge of money. You're the steward of some money, okay? And it's your job to dispense that money properly. That's all dispensation is. It's stewardship. Okay? Now, in the context of the Bible, dispensation would be God's stewardship of his grace. Okay? And he dispenses his grace differently at different times. All right? He does not dispense grace now the same way he dispensed grace to Moses. Okay? It was totally different. Okay, and we have to be able to see these differences in the dispensation. Okay, so a dispensation, you could say, is a period of time in which God reveals to man or the nations, Gentile nations also, their responsibility to him concerning obedience and sin. So in a nutshell, a dispensation is how God deals with man at that particular time. Okay? That's what a dispensation is. Every dispensation ends where man does not fulfill his responsibility. Every dispensation. Okay? Now, Scofield lists seven dispensations. Okay? He doesn't list the tribulation as a dispensation. And remember I told you that I'm going off of the Schofield booklet on dispensations, but we have to be able to change with the scriptures. Okay? And that's what Schofield at the time, he didn't have the light that we have now on these dispensations. And now we can see this plainly where back in those days they didn't. Okay? So a dispensation always ends where man fails to fulfill his responsibility. Now let's take a look at dispensations, where it's used in the scripture, because we need to get an idea of how it's used in the scripture. Okay, so if you would, it's used four times in the scriptures. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now this is a dispensing of the gospel Paul's talking about here. Okay, it's stewardship. He's a steward of the gospel, amen? And he has been put charge to the Gentiles to dispense that gospel to the Gentiles, amen? Okay, so there's one way that the Lord uses the word dispensation. Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. In one all things in Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, this dispensation is a period of time, a specific period of time written in stone. Okay? It's the fullness. So when it gets full, the dispensing is going to stop. Okay? That's what it is there. And the last one, the dispensation of the gospel, that didn't have a time on it. There was no time on that one. It was just a period that wasn't specified, you see. Now this one, it's until the fullness. Okay? So there is a time on that one. Okay? When time is full or complete, that's when that dispensation stops. And it's not necessarily a dispensation in the Bible. It's just a dispensing. Amen? So look at Ephesians 3:2. Let's start in verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. There's another dispensation. It's a dispensing of the grace of God. No time limit on that. Okay? So it's an act. It's not just a specific time period. Okay? And Paul was dispensing the gospel, the grace of God to who? The Gentiles. Verse 1 is your context. Okay? So let's look at the fourth one. That's in Colossians 1:25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Okay? To fulfill the word of God. Now that one's kind of confusing. There may be a time limit on that one, and there may not be a time limit on that one. I'm not quite sure on that. But again, he's dispensing something to someone. Okay? So that's what basically a dispensation is. A dispensation is when God is doing the dispensing. Amen? That's what a dispensation is. Okay? Now, reasons for dispensations. Number one, to reveal or emphasize an attribute of God. Number two, to test and deal with men and the nations in various ways, providing God a means to be just in man's salvation and his damnation. Okay? The great thing I love about the Bible and our God is that we know what needs to be done. It's not hid. Amen? We know what the requirements are. We know what is expected of us. And if we don't do that, what does Paul say? Nobody has an excuse. No one has an excuse for not knowing about Jesus Christ, for not knowing the gospel. This stuff about, you know, we've got to get to these other nations and preach the gospel to these people. Yes, we do. That's our call. That is our command. Okay? But if you read Romans 1, God and his eternal power and Godhead is revealed to these people. It's revealed to them. Okay? So they're without excuse. Whether a man came and preached the gospel to them or not, they're going to be without excuse. Amen? So it's been revealed to them. Okay? Now, the third reason for a dispensation is to reveal the approved and the heretic. Okay? It's to reveal the people who know the scripture, the ones who have the right doctrine. It's to expose this. It's to expose the proper doctrine, and it exposes heresy. Okay? Without rightly dividing, your doctrine will be heresy. And that's what you have with all the different denominations around the world, is that they are not rightly dividing this book, period. And they will take something from a group of people and apply it to themselves when it doesn't apply to them. Okay? Or they will take something from a time period that's not for today, and they will apply it to today. Okay? And that'll get them messed up as well. All right? And if they're not constantly searching, see, this is the symptom of Laodicea. If you don't have an insatiable curiosity to the scriptures, you're going to become Laodicean, to where you think you have everything and that you're rich and you are in need of nothing. Okay, but what did Jesus say? You're poor and wretched and naked, and you need eye salve so that you can see me and my word. And I'm not even in your church. I'm outside knocking on your door. Okay, that's because people aren't rightly dividing. And we as Bible believers, you have to be always on the lookout. Remember the watchman? You should have somebody on watch 24/7. The military's got it down to a science. Not if not for enemies, for icebergs, amen? Like the Titanic, you know? So you got to have a watchman. So you have to diligently be seeking. What is that passage of scripture where it says, the slack hand will be poor, but the diligent will be rich? That's my own words, but I just ran across that last night, and how the King James Bible uses the word slack, you know? And we don't use it in the way that the King James Bible uses it. We say slack, you're lazy, or slack, you're slow, but it's procrastinating. It's not doing something you're supposed to do. What did it say? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise? Meaning he's not laid back up there going, oh man, I can't wait for this rapture to happen, and boy, I wish they'd just, you know, get it right. No, that's not what he's up there doing. He is up there right now. He's ready to come back. Okay? He is ready to catch us up. Okay? He's eternal. He's not bound by time. Okay? So he created the earth today. He destroyed the earth today. He raptured the church today. You see what I'm saying? Because he's eternal. He's not bound in time. He's all around us at once. So past, present, and future are happening at the same time in God's eyes. Okay? That's how he operates. That's why prayer is so important. That's why prayer is so important. You can actually change your future and your present and your past with prayer and never know it. Because God is eternal. He can go back in time of the whole history and change it like that to answer that prayer based on your heart getting right with him. You know, and you know, the world calls it multi-dimensional or parallel universes. That's just their way of perverting what God's power is, because God is like playing chess against Bobby Fischer times 100. Bobby Fischer was known to be 14 to 24 moves deep in a chess match. Could you imagine playing against that guy? And he was doing it this fast? That fast? God doesn't even have to do that. Okay, because he spoke it back then, and it's going to happen because he spoke it based on his word. Okay, so it's to reveal the correct doctrine and expose the false doctrine, or to reveal the approved and to expose the heretic. That's what dispensations are for. Okay, now dispensations lay within the scope of the Bible. Sometimes they're called ages, okay, or covenants. You'll find that in Ephesians 3 about ages, okay? So that's a little bit about dispensations. Now, I have to talk about this because, no, it has nothing to do with your salvation, but it's biblical, so we need to talk about it, okay? Because you're going to get messed up if you don't pay attention to this and recognize it, okay? This is creation to recreation. All right? Creation to recreation. There was a creation, okay? Genesis what? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:2, it was what? Without form and void. Okay? God does not create anything without form and void. Everything he creates is perfect from the beginning. Even Lucifer, he was perfect, and he was in the garden, but then he fell. You see what I'm saying? And that brings up a good point about creation. You know, you got all these nutcases out there talking about aliens, all these aliens, and they're coming, and, you know, they came, you know, 14,000 years ago, and they bred their race with our race so that we would mine the gold and stuff like that. And they make a really good case, and I was listening to this one lecture, and the guy said, listen, man, you are not from Earth. Your body is not built for this planet. And he is absolutely right. But aliens didn't breed us and bring us here. See, in the original creation, with Adam and, in that creation with Adam and Eve, we were made for this earth. The temperature was right. The atmosphere was right. Our bodies were right. You didn't need clothes. None of that. But at the fall, God changed all of that. And now, guess what? This isn't our home. We don't belong here, right? We're not fit for that. I mean, look at all the animals. They all have hair. They all have shoes. They have coats. They have shoes. They've got teeth for certain things. We don't. We have to make all of that stuff ourselves. I mean, what a blessing that is, that these guys are so blind that they can't see the scripture. They got the chicken or the egg thing mixed up there, right? They're putting the chicken, you know what I mean? You don't know what came first there with their mentality, but we know. We know, okay? So we need to talk about the original creation, Genesis 1:1, okay? God created the heaven and the earth, okay? So we know that there was one heaven and one earth at that time. Three reasons for two creations. God does not create anything without form and void. You'll find that in Ezekiel 28:15, okay? Thou was perfect, okay? The word form means orderly or arrangement. You can't have a form that's not formed, amen? Who does concrete work here? The form is what makes it right, is what makes it work, okay? Now, people are going to say, well, you know, that was part of the... No, it wasn't. God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, and then something happened and it became without form and void. Okay, because he didn't create it without form and void. He created it and then it was without form and void. Okay, look at Job 38:1. This is what I wanted to talk about, because when you get into the creationism and things of that nature, a lot of people will use these passages talking about the creation, Adam and Eve. Job 38. Job 38. Now, this is the $64 million questions he's asking him here. And he says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding.'" He's saying, hey, you weren't there. You have no idea when I laid the foundations of the earth. You have no idea. "Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." You see that? That's a different time frame than Adam and Eve. Okay? The context here is prior to that. Okay, he's talking about the foundations of the earth. And what you run into with creationism, which I think is a great thing, don't get me wrong. I love Kent Hovind. I love the work that he does. But he's wrong. He's wrong on that original creation. He's just... I think that if you admit to the original creation, then you have to admit that not everything in the Bible is absolutely crystal clear to you. And when people are speaking in the way Kent Hovind does when he debates college professors and stuff like that, if you show any sign of weakness, they're going to jump on that. You know, and that's the great thing about Bible believers, is that we can admit that we see something in Scripture. We don't fully understand it. We see it, and we acknowledge it, just like the mysteries. You're not going to understand all the mysteries. They're mysteries, but we are to teach them, amen? Okay, so that's the difference between a Bible believer and with creationism. Okay, so a couple more passages. Genesis 1:28. Okay, and this is where God says to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Okay, now you can run that reference all day long in the Scripture, and it always means to refill. It always means, I take that back, it always means to replenish. Always. It never means to plenish. Never. Not once. It always means to do it again. Okay? Now, if there wasn't a creation prior, why would God tell him to replenish the earth? Okay? Now, if you're a Bible believer, you better believe it. You better believe it. Okay, Brother Greg Estep has, I believe he has, you study some of his stuff, don't you? Does he have something on that original creation about Lucifer's reign and lots of good references in that? Okay, he seems to be a pretty good authority on the original creation, to where he will even tell you that the first earth, the first creation, was a geological one. The earth was rocky and with big peaks of rocks, and the creation, the beings that were there were rocky and hard and like rocks, okay? Like the movie Transformers. You watch the movie Transformers, they kind of reveal this stuff in there where they show the Transformers used to be here on Earth about 10,000 years ago. And see, because what it is the Transformers, they shapeshift into machines. But when they don't have the machines on their bodies, they look like rocks, living rocks. Okay? And that is, and then they show their planet, and their planet looks like giant jagged rocks. Okay? So they're kind of revealing something there to you, or either that, or they're just scavengers and they're making money off the Scripture, amen? They're just changing it around, you know? So that's what's going on there. That first creation was, look at Lucifer. He was a geological creature. Was he not? He had jewels, he had rubies, rhinestones, diamonds, pipes sticking out of him. That's Optimus Prime. Rubies are red, right? Sapphires are blue. Lucifer made music when he walked. He had pipes built right into his body. Optimus Prime's got those two smokestacks sticking right out of his shoulder blades. Okay? So it's biblical, all right? You got to watch for those things. Okay? So that first creation was kind of geological, okay? So anyway, it was replenish. Replenish means replenish, okay? 2 Peter 3:3, this is a good one. I'm not going to turn there because we're almost done. But anyway, 2 Peter 3:3, it talks about the earth being out of the water and in the water. Okay? Now, Brother Hovind teaches it that there was an ice layer or a water layer in our upper atmosphere, and that's the in the water and the out of the water thing. But I fish a lot, okay? And in my older age, I like to fish lazy with a bobber. Okay, now when you throw that bobber in the water, what happens? You got a bobber that's in the water and out of the water, floating. Okay, because in Genesis 1, 7 and 8, the Bible says that there was a firmament in the midst of the waters. There was air in the midst of the water. Okay? So that's not what we have now. That's not what we had prior to Noah's flood either. Okay? There was a firmament in the midst of the water. Okay? So there was this water, and then there was, like, God just blew a bubble inside that water. Amen? And that's the way it was originally. Okay? So that is part of dispensation where we're talking about creation to creation. Next week, we will pick it up. I promise. We'll get into the dispensations. Amen? So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. And Lord, we just pray that that we would humble ourselves, Lord, that you would give us some more of your faith, Lord. Give us some more of your faith so that we can humble your words and believe them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.